Welcome to Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK Radio, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world at www.kpfk.org. My name is Tammy Banglu, and I'm here with my co-host, Damon Azali. We're going to open the show with Oleila Das of the Omoja Committee in New Orleans, joining us to talk about their work and the upcoming plans for the one-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Then we're going to be joined by Jordan Flatterly, organizer with the New Orleans Network and editor of Left Turn Magazine, on the crisis in the public school system in New Orleans since Katrina and as the first wave of schools open. Finally, we'll be joined by Ajin Pu, lead organizer for the Domestic Workers Union in New York City, and Arlene Brown, a nanny and organizer at DWU. They're going to be talking about their recently released report, Home is Where the Work Is, inside the New York domestic workers industry, the first industry-wide analysis of domestic workers by domestic workers. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline. This is Damon Azali, and on the phone we have Oleila Das with the Umoja Committee in New Orleans. In 1989, it was founded to help raise the self-esteem of black youth. She joins us to discuss the plans for the upcoming commemoration of Katrina, as well as the condition of mental health services in New Orleans and how folks are trying to help. Welcome to the show.
Peace. How you doing?
Good. So why don't we just start off with a lot of the work that's going on is trying to get to the 29th and the commemoration of Hurricane Katrina, where a lot of folks lost their lives and whatnot. So what is the big plans for that day?
There is actually a week full of events, but the culminating event on August 29th will be the coming together of people to actually remember those who lost their lives during this process. It is estimated at 2,000 people lost their lives. There are, of course, conflicting reports that there were more, and there is a portion of that 2,000 that has not been identified. But our job, especially in the African-American community, is to commemorate those who have lost their lives. The part of the African community and how we function very much in New Orleans is that our community is made up of those who have passed on, those who are here, and those who are yet to come. So you have this circle of life and death that is very connected. In the park, we'll be lighting candles that day. We'll be reading the names of people who lost their lives. There will be mental health, and let's holistically look at that so that it includes counselors, but it also includes massage therapists and people teaching meditative breathing. That will be in the park to assist anybody who may want to partake in that day. There will also, which is very much a New Orleans tradition, be second lines. The first line is a group of people that go to the funeral. In New Orleans, that process of a second line is... I'm sorry. That process is led by a band. And that process is led by a brass band. And so it's very slow and mournful on the way to the funeral. On the way back, there is this very joyful dancing so that the living must live. And we have two second lines who are scheduled to come to the park and meet the people who are doing a march as well.
Okay. Oleila, are you on a speakerphone?
I'm not on a
speakerphone. Or a headset?
I'm not on a headset either.
We're getting a little bit of a noise in the background. We'll just push through it.
Okay.
So In particular, the Emoji Committee is doing the mental health services aspect of it, or what are you actually doing in the... Because I know it's a large united front that's pushing for this from People's Hurricane Relief and...
And the Emoji Committee was... some of its members have been participating in the process of the commemoration. Our traditional work in this particular community is working to make sure that African American children know the African traditions of themselves. Often you hear people saying the children have no values, or how do we share with the children the things from the past that will definitely lift them up in the future. And that's what the Emoji Committee does. We go beyond. I mean, just think of every particular religious group. And there aren't many ecumenical coming to gatherings that go just everybody, from the Yorubas to the Akans, just everybody, the Rastafarians, the Black Muslims, Sunni Muslims, every kind of Christian you could name. We all have in commonality that we want our children to have values. And so on that day, people come and volunteer, mamas and babas, young people and very old people come together, and we work on the self-esteem of the children. Children are performing that day. People are performing for children on occasion. But it is a day where a village is formed to hold the children. And since we've been doing it for 16 years, it is a way for, in a place as large as New Orleans, for you to get to meet many, many children and to have the feel, which was once in our community, that all adults are parents to all of the children. So, and, you know, that's what the Umoja Committee does. But we also partake in that same vein of all kinds of community events. And so when they talked about commemorating those who had passed, it was definitely that some of us were asked, knowing that this is one of the traditions that is important in our personal lives and in our community lives.
So just kind of continuing with the talking about children, I know that you also work with Agenda for Children. So, and the mission statement, it talks about trying to combat the effects of racism and other forms of oppression on children. So what I wanted to ask you is, in terms of Black children in New Orleans before Katrina, what did it look like? What were they dealing with? How were they being affected by this racism and oppression? And then later I'm going to ask you, how is it different now?
The schools were very, very poor. They're in very poor neighborhoods. The money that would go to the schools comes from the tax base of the neighborhood. That's how it was explained to me. So if you have a very poor neighborhood, consequently the schools were very poor. Now, everybody's school wasn't looking like that, and they had charter schools or magnet schools that took children in, but for the most part they weren't for African Americans. And I'd say 98% of the children in public schools here were African American. And so now the majority of the schools are charter schools. The majority of the schools are magnet schools. There has been a recovery, Louisiana recovery project kind of thing, where the state has taken over some of the schools. I can't even explain to you, this was like, if you can imagine New Orleans and all of the visuals that come to you, this was very much like a desert. Right after the storm. I got back here in November. And so to find out what schools were open, it was very, very difficult. The Head Start at that time was open to any parent. There was no income eligibility because there's a definite crisis in child care, and there was a definite crisis in elementary school age and high school care as well. So things are every day you hear about more and more schools opening. We will see if New Orleans and the educators here have learned the best practices of helping children to succeed inside the school system. That's where Umoja comes from, the children that we have gotten to touch through the years at various celebrations in the city. Those children do have a sense of self, have high self-esteem, and they say African-American children have high personal esteem, but their group esteem is very, very low. And that happens, that people begin to believe the negative things they say about them. So we're working to counter that. So hopefully the schools that are beginning now will use the wisdom of the Umoja Committee and integrate African culture and history into the schools. And I'm going to tell you, I work with many cultural centers, and there certainly are artists and culturalists here that are available to do that with any school that is open to it.
Okay. So, Oleila, why don't you tell us how folks can get in contact with you, and what can we do from Los Angeles? What can our listeners do to help out?
First, let's talk about short-term, the commemoration. The commemoration is the coming together. The United Front is being led by some people called the People's Hurricane Relief Project, and it is very much community and volunteer run. There are things we need for the commemoration. I think, you know, that we're talking about 2,000 candles in the park. We're talking about flowers. All of the things, we're talking about blowing up pictures of people who have lost their lives. We're talking about a banner with about 1,000 names of people who have lost their lives. Those things cost money. And I can tell you just personally, I'm rebuilding my house right now. I'm living in someone else's house. This is almost a year later, and I'm still paying mortgage at my house. I'm paying for somebody else's house, so funds that would be available for a project like this are not available. People are having to try to preserve and hold on to what they had before, but it's not livable, and then they have an additional arrangement. So it's like having two apartments, a mortgage and an apartment, which our inheritance hasn't come to us yet.
Right.
So there are... you know, any donation towards that, and I guess unless people were coming down for the celebration and willing to make the purchases, it probably means donating money. Agenda for Children has agreed to be an agent that will accept money, and all of that money, 100% of it, will go towards this commemoration. None of it will be used for Agenda for Children.
So how do folks get it to Agenda for Children?
We are at 1720 Charles Avenue. That's New Orleans, Louisiana, 70130. And that's Agenda for Children, 1720 St. Charles Avenue.
Louisiana, 70130.
70130. On the long term, I think people can look within themselves. People have specialties. For instance, I work with preschoolers. I'm living in a city now that has 64 child care centers, and they used to have 264 child care centers. So the shortage in child care is amazing. people are coming to me daily looking for funding, looking for something to help them rebuild their business. Plus, people who are open. We're talking about the mental health of children. If all your playground equipment, and I'm talking about Fisher Price, I'm not talking about, you know, steel in the ground, has blown away, it is hard to have outdoor play. It's hard to do puzzles if you don't have those things. It's hard to have art if you don't have art supplies. And that's what we're finding, that across the board, people are having to do without things. And so my phone number at Agenda for Children is 504-586-8509, and I'm at extension 12. People call me O for short because Ole Ila is a hard name to say. If there is something that you would like to donate to the city, I will work diligently to get it to real life people.
Okay.
I'm working with Children's Defense Fund and
different
organizations.
So we're going to have to leave it there because we're running into our next guest here, but we wanted to thank you again, folks.
And I want to thank you so much. I want, you know, it is so inspiring to my being that y'all care.
Yeah. Well, we're actually going to, five of us are going to be back down there in the next week or so, so I'll definitely
we'll
look up.
We'll go out to dinner, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Some red beans and rice.
Okay. All right, so we're going to be up next with Jordan Flattery, and this is KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and we'll be right back after the break.